Won't you welcome Lou Luckmeyer?
All right, you can't see anything up here. I'm Lou Luckmeyer. And I'm from Akron, Ohio, which means that there are some Akronites around, I know. Which means I really have no earthly business being in Fredericktown. And it took me a long time to come to grips with that because I couldn't explain it. I didn't grow up in a religious family. No one was going to be caught carrying a Bible around or trying to look up verses, or there wasn't much prayer going on. But for about 5 years there, between the ages of 7 and 12, my parents semi-regularly attended the Trinity Lutheran Church in Norton, Ohio. And I learned about God, and I learned about Jesus, and I never really understood what the Holy Spirit was all about. But I had a little bit of foundation. And when I was about 12, the church had a big, big political infight, and they sent the pastor packing, and my parents were really upset about that, so they stopped going to church. And they didn't just stop going to that church. They quit going to church. So none of us went to church. And the running joke in my family was that someone would ask my father, "Hey, where are you going to church?" And he would say, "I'm a faithfully going to St. Mattress every Sunday." So I went to St. Mattress for a long time. And I came out of that with two conclusions that, you know, a 12 or 13-year-old probably shouldn't draw from such a small amount of time. But that was that there was a God, but he didn't really care what was going on down here. Because if he did, he wouldn't let stuff like that happen. And the second thing I came away with was that church was a political place. It was for backbiting and backstabbing, and it was no place that I wanted to be. And I was fine. I was fine with that. I was a fairly decent kid growing up. I stayed out of trouble for the most part, but I wasn't asking God for answers. And it seemed okay to me. And as I went along, I got to be in high school and got through and was trying to pick a place to go play college football because I wasn't going to go to education. I didn't really care if I was going to get an education. I just wanted to keep playing football. And I was certain I was going to go to Ohio Northern University. I mean, if the guy had called, the coach had called, I would have said, "Coach, I'm there." But when it all was said and done, I picked Muskingum College. And, you know, I need to make a disclaimer here because it's a mistake to think that just because your eyes aren't on God, that his eyes aren't on you. Because that decision changed my life. And it wasn't a nicer school. It was marginally closer. You know, it was okay. But when it came down, three things happened because of that decision. I met the woman I was going to marry. She's the one who drugged me back to church. And I had my introduction to Fredericktown, Ohio. Give me that first slide. Freddie Bird. I met a kid from Fredericktown at Muskingum. We played football together. I made fun of him every day of his life about this mascot. He would wear Freddie gear everywhere. And it drove me insane. I couldn't understand it. I said, this is the stupidest mascot I've ever seen. He's got these giant steroid arms. He's supposed to have wings, John. And we go round and round about this. And I'd say, "Freddy's, you guys, how unoriginal could you be? All right, you just took the name of the town and you just, Freddy's." I was like, you could have been a falcon. You could have been a firebird. That would have been cool. You could have been a frog. And for four years, I just, every day, I just drilled. He's one of my best friends. He's still here in Fredericktown. So the fact that I'm here now, I couldn't even deal with it because I just thought there's some cosmic justice going on here, right? This is all about karma, and if I hadn't opened my mouth so much, I wouldn't be here, okay? So finally, Kathy and I left, we got out of school and went to Columbus, and we were married, we were living our life as a married couple would. We didn't have any kids, we didn't have any worries, we weren't going to church, we were just living. And she was a children's services worker, and I was doing sales, and it was stressful all the time. And finally, she burned out, and she sold me. I still don't know how she did this, so this had to be a God thing, too. She's like, I'm quitting my job, and I'm going back to school. And I was like, okay. And she went back to school, and a couple years later, she got a job. She got a job in Mount Vernon. And I was familiar with Mount Vernon because I'd been doing sales, so I'd been, trying to sell bolts to the Rolls-Royce plant or trying to sell bolts to the aero plant. So I said, no, we should move up there. You don't have to drive very far. We'll move up that direction. It's no big deal for me. I'm driving around all the time. Which was great. And we finally decided, after we'd been up here living in Mount Vernon for, it was probably about a year, that maybe it was time to start thinking about a family. And two things came down from Kathy at that point. And those two things were, number one, we have to own a house before we have children, because we can't raise kids in an apartment, I was told. And the second thing I was told was, when we get this child, when they're here, we're going to go back to church. And I was like, okay, all right, we're gotcha, honey. It didn't seem like that much longer later, and all of a sudden, we were going to have a child. And there was some serious urgency to find a house. And we found a unique money pit. Fixer Upper here in Fredericktown, and then I moved here. I mean, then I lived here, and I was going, what is this all about? How did I end up in this place? So Zach was a baby, and Kathy just had this urgency, and it is ridiculous. It's nonsensical. She's like, we got to go back to church. We have a child. This child has to know who God is. And I was thinking, this kid is not going to know who God is. He's in a car seat, all right? This doesn't make any sense. So she was fighting. She probably didn't know that it was God pushing on her to get moving on this. And finally, I was like, okay, fine. All right. So she negotiated, right? She's like, well, you grew up Lutheran. We'll go to the Lutheran church. So we went to the Lutheran church in Mount Vernon. And it was everything a Lutheran church is. It's like Catholic's buddy. And you stand up and sit down and stand up and sit down. And you say the Apostle Creed and the Nicene Creed. And you do the offertory. And you say the Lord's Prayer. And you do like a 29-minute sermon. And you're out of there in an hour. And we got done. And no one in this whole congregation said hi, hello, good morning, winked at you. Nothing. The pastor was very nice. But we got done. And Kathy's like, that's a no-go. I don't know what's going on. People are standing up and sitting down. You guys are all singing and saying things, and I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm like, all right, okay. She's like, I was raised Baptist. Let's go to the Baptist church. I was like, okay. So we go to the Baptist church here in town, and it's a lot of old-timey hymns, and there's a lot of fire and brimstone. And somehow, despite visiting one time, we got a call on like Tuesday that said, hey, we need you to bring some cookies to to this next event. And I was like, there's no way we're going to that church. So that was two strikes, 2 weeks. And then the next week, she's like, well, we went to a Presbyterian college. Let's go to the Presbyterian church. Now, mind you, if John Glenn had not gone back to space at like 80 years old, I would have never been in that chapel one time in my entire time up there. That was the one time I was in there. So I was like, okay, honey, all right, we'll do it. So we go to the Presbyterian church, and the people are very nice. And the pastor doesn't say hi, hello, good morning. He doesn't say a word to us. So I don't know if you've ever had to look for a church, but it's like the worst experience ever, because you're like invading territory, and you don't, you're like, don't know anybody here. We didn't know anybody to even say, hey, come to my church. Yeah, I got a good church. We didn't know anybody. So I was done. I'm like, I'm tired of looking for a church. Every church is the same. They're all, they're all terrible. And Kathy was just steadfast. She's like, well, I want to try that Methodist church. She's like, I just don't know what time they meet. They don't have any hours on the sign. And I said, Kathy, the reason they don't have any hours on the sign is because they don't want you to go. And I thought, this is gonna peter out, and it's gonna be fine. And she, I don't know where she found out, but she found out there were two services, and there's the traditional, there's the contemporary, and maybe if we go to the contemporary, it's a little bit later, maybe you'll be better, more on board with that. And Sunday came around, and I thought, we're not gonna be going to church. I was just laying there on the couch, there's no way we're going to church. And Kathy got dressed, and she got Zach ready for church. And she said, I'm going to church, are you coming? And I was like, She's like, a negotiation started. And she was like, I'll tell you what. And I'm thinking, oh, we're negotiating, this is good, I'm in sales, I can win this. And she's like, I'll tell you what, if this isn't the church, if this isn't the place, I promise we'll take a break and we won't look for a church for a little bit. And I was like, oh, yes. That is totally what I need to hear, because this church is going to be just like every other church I've ever been in, and it's not going to be the church. And I'm going to get a break, and that's going to be awesome. So we came to this church, and Tara Fennell met us at the door. Like a chihuahua, like up in your face. And she's like, where, this is where this is, and this is where the nursery is. And this, hey, Pastor Keith, this is Lou and Kathy, and they're looking for a church. And Pastor Keith listens to Kathy. He's like, well, we've been to Lutheran Church, and we've been to the Presbyterian Church, we've been to the Baptist Church. And Pastor Keith goes, welcome home. Welcome home. Which is seriously what Kathy had to hear. I was a little less okay, but. So we started coming to church here. And weird stuff started happening to me. Because before this point, I knew of God and of Jesus, but I didn't really know them. And every week, Keith would stand up here and go on his rabbit trails, and he would, if you were here, you know. And I would walk out of here, and I would look at Kathy, and I'd be like, man, that sermon today. I think he was talking to us. And there'd be days when Kathy would be like, who? He's talking about us? And that happened so many times that I was just like, what? I had to wonder, because I thought God was on a throne somewhere and just be like, And now Keith's talking every Sunday. Like he just took two chairs in his office and was like, hey, Lou, Kathy, come on in here, sit down. I need to talk to you. And that was kind of like, what's going on here? What is this all really about? And it was sort of unsettling. I thought, how plugged in is this dude to God that he's bringing it every week to the point where I'm just like, man, why is he always talking to us? So my heart was hard, and it was starting to soften because I was wondering what in the world was going on here. And I started listening to more Christian rock, and I would listen to Cast and Crowns and Third Day. I had an hour-long drive to Columbus. It was kind of, I didn't really care. It was nice. Most people would hate that. I was cool with that. And I would be singing along with the music, you know, stuff that Ross and the guys play up here. And I started having episodes. I didn't even know what to call them. Right? Because I didn't understand the Holy Spirit in the first place. And I was singing along. And I was so overcome, I would feel such love and such joy that I would cry. I would weep. And I'm not an emotional guy. I didn't cry on my wedding day. I have four kids. I love them. I didn't cry when they were born. Right? I'm not that guy. I'm just not wired that way. And I was starting to have episodes. I couldn't even describe to you what they were because I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what was going on. All I knew is that something was going on. And I was like, something highly wrong was wrong with me. And I would see this happen to Kathy. I would see it happen here, like singing in the church, and she'd be like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And that would happen to me here too. And we're trying to put that together. Like, what is that all about? And at some point in there, this is when Briggs owned Briggs Ice Cream. I was down there to get something. I mean, it had to be a shredded chicken or a DJ's sausage and Swiss. I don't know which one it was. But I was in the drive-thru line, and Mike was standing there. And Mike leans out the drive-thru window and he goes, dude, what are you doing here? And I thought, well, that's highly offensive. I clearly am trying to get some ice cream, Mike. And I brushed it off, and I said, Mike, I ask myself that question every day that I'm here in Fredericktown. And I don't know why he asked that. I never asked him. He probably doesn't remember asking me that question. But the problem with that question for me was, is that I was thinking, I was really starting to think, I was toying with the idea that maybe there was more to being here than I ever thought. And I couldn't even admit that at the time. I didn't even want to think about it. I wanted to think it was cosmic karma that put me here, but I was starting to think that maybe God put us here. And I couldn't even admit that to myself. And Mike, like I said, maybe he was prompted by the Lord. Maybe he thought, just looking outside, like, why are you here, dude? Really? Seriously, you're from Akron. Go back home. So then Kathy comes in and she's like, we've been invited to Bible study. I was like, Bible study? She's like, yeah, Bible study at the pastor's house. I was like, at the pastor's house? What are you talking? She's like, yeah, they have dinner at the pastor's house and then they have Bible study. I was like, who has dinner at the pastor's house and has Bible study? And she was like, well, the Brakes, Mike and Heather, and the Benders, Ryan and Meg, and Lori Grog and Dean Grog, and Tara Fennell goes. And I was like, don't be offended. I was like, the holy rollers of this church, the people I admire and want to be more like, but I am not one of those people. Those people want us to go to Bible study at the pastor's house on Friday. She's like, yeah. I was like, I hate to break it to you, Kathy Luckmeyer. We are not those people. So, I mean, I did everything in my power, much like coming here. I was growing. I was in a good place. I had had a good collision with Jesus, and I had accepted him, and my heart was better. But I was in this great little trough, right, where there's like this first collision you have with Jesus when you surrender to him, and then there's this sweet river in the middle where you can just get on your inner tube and you float around and you're like, ah, man, it feels good to come in here on Sunday and I feel better about going to church, but I'm not really doing anything. And over here on this other side, once you scale this, walk out of that valley, this is where the rubber meets the road. And I wasn't there yet. But I was able to hold it off for a little while. I was a speed bump to progress. And finally, just like how I ended up here, Kathy came home on a Friday, and she took off her teaching clothes, and she put on a pair of blue jeans, and she got Zach ready, and she said, I'm going to Bible study. Are you going to go? And I was like, man, this is kind of an untenable position here. I could not go, and that looks pretty terrible. Or I could force myself to go. I was like, okay, I'll go. And it was important because we started talking about things that I didn't talk about. We started talking about the Holy Spirit. We started talking about spiritual gifts. And those are things we didn't talk about in the Lutheran church. I got to see people like the Benders and the Brakes and the Grogs that were out in front of me. And to see how they were, you know, mentors to us. And it was hugely important. I got a lot of spiritual growth from going there. I was having all kinds of crazy stuff happen because before we had talked about spiritual gifts and things, I mean, every time I'd think about this church, I'd see this picture. And the picture was this church. And I would be up in the sky over there and the light coming off this church would hold back the darkness of this town. And I was like, Kathy, I don't understand. Every time I think about this church or every time I see it, I said, I see this picture of this church. And finally, Keith's like, oh, sounds like it's a vision about what this is. And, you know, it was like wading through stuff that I didn't even understand, that you could feel the Holy Spirit so much that it would make you cry. And not cry because you're upset, but cry because it's overwhelming. And that's what was happening to me. So what I can tell you about how you go from being someone who doesn't know God to being someone that understands God, that gets to hear God, that sees things, is you don't get that growth accidentally. And I was drugged here. I mean, ear turned. Come on, you're coming on. I didn't want to be here, but I couldn't ignore what would happen to me when I was here. I couldn't ignore that Keith was hitting me between the eyes with a 2x4 truth every Sunday. I couldn't ignore that I was having episodes of the Holy Spirit and that it was breaking me down to a blubbering, weeping guy. That I was just like, oh, God, I want to cry. I still do that here. I still like, wipe those tears. So if you haven't had that first collision with God that I had here, and I can't tell you when that happened. I don't know if it was a sermon that Keith did. I don't know if it was in the car. I don't know if it was a Bible study. At some point there, I just said, okay, God, okay. I want you to be part of my life. I've always marveled at people who can tell me where they were and what they did and what they were wearing that day, because I'm not that guy. I'm not a detail guy. So if you haven't had that first collision, you need to remember one thing. Give me the first slide or second slide. Okay, and this is the parable of the lost sheep. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. That's like Sunday School 101, right? The lost sheep parable. And I think everybody listens to that and they think of it from the same place, right? Everyone's like, I'm up on this hillside with 98 of my friends, and Jesus is going to look for the lost. Jesus is so awesome. Jesus is awesome. But that's not the truth of that parable. Because the truth of that parable is that no one ever starts in the 99. Nobody has a free ticket. No one has a back door. Nobody knows someone that's so important they can get them there. The only way to get into the 99 is to know that Jesus is your Savior. So if you're sitting here and you don't know that, if you've never made that commitment, if you've never said, Jesus, I want you to be part of my life, what you need to know is that every single person in here didn't measure up at some point. Every single person was that one lost sheep that Jesus left the hillside for to come and get. One day he went and got Kathy, and then he went and got Richard, and then one day he went and got me. Okay? If you think you can't measure up, if you've heard that you've done too much wrong, that you can't be a part of this, that you're too sinful, that God could never love you, it's not true. This isn't a house full of really great people. This is a house full of lost sheep that Jesus found. Okay. So if you have had that first collision with Jesus, and you're in that sweet valley of, I don't feel like doing anything, give me the next one. You are the light of the world. This is Jesus talking. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And this is Jesus' reminder that you've been given a great gift. Don't waste it. Do everything you can with it to glorify your Father. Don't take it and put it under a bowl. Don't sit there Velcroed to your pew. I've been that guy. You can't sit there. You have to get out and do. You have to take those proddings that God gives you, those tugs, and run with them. And if you're a person that is a debater, right? Oh, is that me? Is that God? Is it me? Is it God? I don't know. What am I supposed to do about this? I'm not that guy. Right? Lou Luckmeyer doesn't want to do anything. I don't want to do anything. Ask Kathy. I don't want to go. I don't want to see crowds. I don't want to be with people. I don't want to do anything. I just want to be Lou Luckmeyer. And I don't have to debate, because when I get a God thought, when I'm driving and I'm praying, and God says, drive a wedge, make a corridor, break the siege, and he's hitting me up about praying corridors through the darkness, that's not a Lou thought, right? Lou thought is sit in this chair, watch the football, eat a brat, right? I don't have any problem distinguishing God thoughts from Lou thoughts, because it's obvious. And I have never had a God thought where I thought, God, that is a great idea. I've never said, man, I have always wanted to do that, God. That is a fabulous idea. I want to walk all the way around for a time and pray. I've always wanted to do that. No, he's always forcing me. I don't want to say forcing. He's pressing me to go and do things that are for the kingdom. They're not for Lou. But Lou gets a lot out of them. Don't let me kid you. I do. So if you are the debater, Kathy Luckmeyer, and various other people here, I know. Give me the next slide. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. If you feel that God's tugging on you, if you're going to sit here and debate whether it's you or it's God, I'm not that good a person. I don't have God thoughts. Right? I don't have good thoughts all the time thinking, this is what I need to do. But if what you're being asked to do covers any of that stuff, right? If it does any of that stuff, if it shows love and joy and forbearance, whatever it is, do it. Do it, because even if it's not from God, it shows the best of God in you. And that's what people need to see. And finally, and this is my personal issue for a long time, is that fear, right? God's asking you to do something, and you're just like, man, I am not equipped to do this. This isn't my gig, right? I've got this sweet spot right here where I'm good at this stuff, and God's always asking me to do these things out here. And it's true. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the call. Okay, so your scripture is, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Know that whatever you do for the Lord, that God is with you. He's with you every step of the way. It took me a long time. Satan's been like, fear, fear, fear. You're a failure. You're a coward. You can't do this. You can't do that. And it's not true. Don't listen to that malarkey. So I urge you tonight, if you haven't had your first collision with Jesus, ask him into your life. Ask him. Because even if you've got a hardened heart, if you come here and you're not with it, he can do that in you. He can do anything. And if you've had a collision with Jesus and you've accepted him into your life, we need to step up. There's that sweet valley in between those two collisions, and it's really easy to get stuck in there, to come in and to punch your time card and to feel good about coming here on Sundays, but to not move to that next stage. I mean, when you get the first collision, you get to rip your name off of Satan's ledger. Right? And you know what I did for that to happen? I didn't do anything. My wife drugged me here by my ear. Keith was preaching to me. I had people mentoring me about what it was like to be a person in Christ. I didn't have to do anything but surrender. The second collision, man, you gotta step up. You gotta start doing things for the Lord. You gotta say yes when he prods you. Because it's like the parable of the talents, right? This guy had 10, and he went out and made 20. And this guy got 5, and he made 10. And this guy got 2, and he buried him in the sand. The more times that you respond to Jesus urging you to do something, the more he's going to do through you. He's like, oh, you got that one? Okay, I got something for you. Hey, take that one. Oh, you did? Okay, hey, I got some more stuff for you to do. So I urge you, have a collision with Jesus. Better yet, have 2. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for giving me the words tonight, Lord. I pray that everyone in here has a collision, and better yet, has two with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.